Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033, Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation After Hours. I'm JT. We've got Stephen Reichlin with us. If you missed the regular show, which I can't understand why you would, but if you did, we've got the Brisket Chronicles with Stephen. Brand new book. He's out there on the book tour right now. Today he comes to us from his summer home up on the vineyard. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to make anybody jealous. But great new book, a lot of great pictures in it, a lot of great recipes, a lot of good research information that he's acquired over the years. Isn't that a nice way to put it, over the years?
Well, thank you. It's been a while. I've been at this for almost 25 years now.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So one of the things you talk about in the book, and we didn't get to this in the regular show, and that's fine. How do you recognize a perfect brisket? Now, you buy the book, you read it, you'll figure out what you're saying. But give some people some hope and tips here, so to speak.
Well, first of all, the visual on the outside, it will be dark, almost black. The surface on close examination will kind of be crusty, almost gritty. The aroma will be both beefy and smoky. You cut into it, your knife should glide through it. You take a slice and pick it up and should be able to pull it apart, but it should not fall apart. If you look at that slice in cross-section, just under that black bark crust, you'll see a thin subcutaneous layer of reddish pink. That is the smoke ring, a naturally occurring chemical reaction that takes place when the smoke hits hemoglobin in the meat, and that, to me, that's kind of the telltale sign you did it right. So if you've really done it right, you press a fork against a slicer, then that cut chunk and juices will sort of ooze out. That's how moist and tender it should be. You taste it, the salt, fat, and meatiness should be in perfect equipoise.
Okay, now I'm really hungry. You know, when people try this, and I've had people, and I know you've had hundreds of, you know, maybe thousands of people come talk to you about this when you're out on your tour, you're doing your TV show. But when they come talk to me, you know, and it's always they want a little help, little tip, and I'm, you know, more than willing to talk to them and help them if I can. But I think the biggest trepidation by some people is when they make that jump from steaks and burgers and sausages and that size, those individual kind of servings in proportion, into larger pieces of meat like a brisket or even a tri-tip. Tri-tip isn't that big, but you know, it's still bigger than what they're used to cooking. How can you kind of put their minds at ease when they're going to start this or give it a shot for the first time?
Well, you know, my first suggestion would be to buy a copy of the Brisket Chronicles and read it cover to cover. Yeah. And especially, you know, if you want to try a Packer brisket, I mean, that recipe runs about 3 pages. So I really try and break it down for you piece by piece. But I think the biggest hint, suggestion that I would give you is, take your time, be patient. It's always going to take longer than you think it will.
Inevitably. Let's talk about writing the book, Stephen. What was your greatest pleasure in writing the Brisket Chronicles?
I think the greatest pleasure for me was probably taking this. Reconsidering, reliving my life through biscuit and thinking about all the places that I ate it, the people I ate it with, many of whom are sadly no longer here. But I mean, growing up, I grew up in a Jewish family. We had brisket every other Friday night, made by my grandmother. Annette would make her extraordinary holiday brisket, which was glazed in sweet red wine with apricots, prunes, and raisins, and lemon. And that was for all the high holiday. Thinking back to my student days in Paris when I used to eat bœuf à la mode, which was biscuit glazed with wine, bacon, and mushrooms. Thinking back on my travels through Italy, where I experienced pollito misto and stracotto. The Planet Barbecue Tour, where I visited Korea, I visited Vietnam with its amazing fur, beef noodle soup, Cambodia. So that travel was really, I think that was the most satisfying thing about writing the book. I mean, I guess on a different note, you know, brisket is, people live in dread of brisket. I mean, this is the thing that trips even season pit masters up. So it was a great pleasure to me to kind of explain how I do it and sort of walk you step by step. And if people follow, you know, if my guideposts lead people to make perfect briskets, I will feel like that, you know, my work is done.
Well, the one thing I've noticed out of all of your books, you're never afraid to ingratiate other cultures and other ways of cooking in your books and your recipes and your recommendations. But the other thing is, you're not afraid to try something a little different. I always remember George Carlin saying, if you nail two things together that have never been nailed together before, somebody will buy it or somebody will try it. And I'm not trying to compare you to George Carlin, but I've always noticed that about your books and in talking with you and interviewing you over the years, that you, you're always like, well, let's try that and see if that works.
I am a great experimenter. I do love to try a lot of different things. That's absolutely true.
And sometimes they don't work.
Sometimes they don't work, but you know, hey, you don't try them. You don't know till you try them.
What would be outside of your familial recipes in this book? What do you think is your favorite out of the book that you yourself love?
Oh man, that's a toughie. You know, that's the sort of favorite child question. On any given day, I could certainly tell you which one I prefer, but all in all, I love them equally. So it is true with my recipes. But I think I would highlight two. And one is the Packer brisket, in a way, because it is so simple. It's just three ingredients. Beef, salt, pepper, and wood smoke. And they come together in such an extraordinary alchemy when you taste your final brisket. And the other is that Korean brisket in a hurry, the one that's cooked in 1 minute. And I think that's my favorite just because it's so preposterous, it's so outlandish, it's so unthinkable, and yet it works, and it's amazing.
I'm actually going to give that a try this weekend.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's really cool. Your wife, is she still putting up with all your experiments and food?
She is, but I have a kind of a painful confession to make, and that is the two women who mean most to me in my life, my wife and my daughter, have both sort of are tilting over towards vegetarianism. That's not to say that when I smoke a Wagyu brisket for the holidays, well, my wife will eat it. My daughter's no meat, my daughter. But in a way, funny way, they're leading the path to my next book, which is going to be a book on grilling vegetables.
Well, there
it's
you
not
go.
Not going to be a vegetarian book, per se, although many of the recipes will be meatless. But when bacon is required to make a vegetable taste great, bacon will be there, ditto with seafood, etc. But I guess you could say I'm going from one extreme in the world of barbecue to the other.
Well, that's all right. You know, I've eaten dinner and lunch and breakfast with lots of vegetarians in my travels over the years and vegans. And As long as they're not trying to hit me over the head with a hammer and tell me I can't eat something, I leave them alone. So there you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Out of all your books now, this is another kind of general question, but all 31 books, tell us which one you think, and you can exclude this one because it's not fair. This one hasn't been out very long. But outside of the Brisket Chronicles, what's your favorite book that you've written?
I think my favorite book was my novel, Island Apart, which is a love story set here in Martha's Vineyard. That came out about 6 years ago. And incidentally, that is about to come out as an Amazon ebook. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, cool.
And that's a love story. It's called The Hermit of Chappaquiddick. When it was published originally, publishers always keep the right to give the title. My publisher at the time picked the title Island Apart, which I thought was a pretty lame, bland, neutral title. But my title was The Hermit of Chappaquiddick, which is about the protagonist. And so the book is coming out with my title. We've added a couple extra chapters, and I'm really excited about that. But I think you probably meant of all my barbecue books, which is my favorite. And that one, without a doubt, is Planet Barbecue, the book in which I visited 63 countries on 6 continents to write about how people grow around the world.
Well, I have that book. I have most of your books. So, I don't have your novel. I can say that I don't have your novel, but I will have to revisit that and do it anyway. Well, Stephen, good luck on your book tour. I appreciate the time. And folks, the book, The Brisket Chronicles, Stephen Reichlin, How to Barbecue, Braise, Smoke, Cure the World's Most Epic Cut of Meat. And there's a lot of good stuff in here. And as usual, he's got, you know, condiments and side dishes and stuff in there, Asian beer sauce, made from scratch, sauerkraut, a lot of good things like that that some cookbooks never include, you know, they just don't get around to it. But Stephen does in his book. So thank you for being with us. Good luck on the tour, and we'll talk to you again this year.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. And note to self, make sure Workman sends me to Portland next year. Good talking to you.
We will do that. Folks, we'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours on Barbecue Nation. Until then, have fun, be careful, and be nice to people. Take care, everybody.